Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're halfway through January. Wow, time flies. I don't know about where you are, but we have kind of been graced with a little bit of a light winter. I'm getting excited about getting my ice fishing gear out, and damn, I can't find any ice down where we are, and not a fish in the world worth swimming for. So I've been just patiently waiting. Guess what? That gives me more time to grill. So hope that's what you're doing with your spare time as well. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I wish I was. Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. It's all about things you throw on your grill or in your belly. And might include a nice cold beverage or something on your smoker, or even sautéing something on some cast iron like a Dutch oven.
There you go. Yeah, it's the first Dutch oven reference of 2019. It won't be the last. Trust me on that one. But so, Bob, I had an interesting experience this week. I went to the grocery store, and I walked by the meat market or the meat counter every time I do, and they had beef short ribs on sale for $1.99 a pound. They were blowing them out.
Wow.
So I bought 10 pounds of beef ribs, and I'm like, I'm going to go home and just cook up some beef ribs, right? So I get them all taken care of. I get the smoker lit up, and I throw them on the smoker, and then I get a phone call from a buddy, one of my Shartucky buddies, that says, hey, we're doing a pub crawl. It's Saturday. It's, you know, there's nothing going on. The national championship football game was Monday night, so on. So I decide I'm going to stop this smoking process because we want to go hook up with the buddies in Shartucky and have a beer, right? So I was 3.5 hours in. I just wrapped my beef ribs in butcher paper, and I get the call. And so I pull them off and I set them on a tray, right? And they were two-thirds the way done. They weren't falling off the bone, just getting a little recession on the bone, right? I get back the next day, might have had a beer or two too many, got up a little bit late. So now it's like noon, and I've got these half-cooked ribs. So what I do is I cut all the meat off I could with a knife, and then I put the bones in a pot, and I made a stock. And then I took that stock and made a shepherd's pie base out of it, put the meat back in, put in the vegetables, and then the potatoes over top, and cooked it in an iron skillet, which is what made me think of that. And, man, was that fantastic because we had that smoky flavor, but they weren't well done like they'd normally be. So it was still just a really good use. And it was the first time I'd ever stopped in the middle of a smoke, and I was scrambling to what to do because I didn't think I wanted to throw them back on a smoker and bring them back up to temperature. So I did it that way. But just kind of a cool – I know I was kind of like impressed with myself at the end of this thing.
I'm impressed with you.
Because
that was actually creative.
Yeah, it turned out, but it was because I had a yearning for a micro-brewed beer rather than a smoky rib at that time. But anyway, fun. First time I'd ever done it.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And what a great deal on beef ribs.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was just a local grocery store, and I walked by, and they were on the end cap, and there was only like 8 packages of them, so I bought them all, right? And for $2 a pound, really?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so
wonderful.
But, yeah.
I'm starving. I'd love some right now. I'm so hungry. Yeah. We're going to talk about a healthy and happy 2019, and Jop's totally opposed to my talking about healthy food.
No, I'm not opposed to it.
We're
going to
ram it down your throat all month long.
Actually, that's quite the opposite. It's what you're not ramming down your throat that we want to talk about.
I'm eating
right?
sawdust. I'm a termite now. But when I think of healthy stuff, I think about changing ingredients and doing this and that. And most of you know one of our great sponsors is Old World Olive Company. And I guess the oils you use are terribly important in how much of it you use. So rather than try and act like I know anything about it, I decided to bring in Shasta from Old World Olive Company.
Hey there.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
About time you came back. My gosh.
I was starting to get worried.
She's elusive.
Maybe she didn't like us or something, but I think actually what it is that those businesses are going so crazy, she's up to her eyeballs in details, I'm sure. But so let's talk a little bit about that. So let's kick that right off because oils are important in cooking. We use them for a lot of different things, and there are a lot of different kinds of oils. Your expertise is in the olive oil area. So if you'd share with us the health benefits of olive oil and why somebody would cook with that versus a canola oil or one of the other oils that's out there.
Yeah. First of all, part of the misconception with olive oil is you can't cook with it. You can. You have to be careful with the type of heat that you put with the olive oil.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say such a thing. That's ridiculous.
Smoking it, yeah. People say, well, I use a canola oil because I can get it at a higher smoke point. And that's true to a degree. But what you're looking at when you're choosing our oils is our oils are so pure. The chemical profile on all of our oils tests out so well that you're going to be able to get a higher smoke point.
So are they saying they only use them for salad dressings? Is that basically
I've heard that frequently. Oh, you guys sell oils for salads. Well, that's just not.
I wonder how many people even know what the smoke point is on olive oil.
Yeah, and I'll tell you.
Because I know a lot of people will switch to peanut oil.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great for a deep fry or that sort of thing. But you can still get an olive oil out of one of our locations to 425, which most people, by the time you're cooking at 425, you're really getting a nice sear or a nice fry out of an oil. And the reason that you can do that with the oils that we have is because they test at such a high level. The chemical profile is so in line with the pure, good extra virgin olive oil that you're just getting top-notch quality.
So there's another misnomer. You said extra virgin olive oil, and a lot of people sell extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah, a lot of people claim to sell extra virgin olive oil, and what you'll see when you pick up a jar of it, a bottle rather,
off at Costco, it's a 50-gallon drum.
Yeah, and if you look at that, you got to look at where it's from. Do you know when the crush date was? Do you know how it was harvested? Was it ground picked? Was it picked from a tree?
Chop, do you know when your crush date was?
He's got a few ideas.
I think it was in October, and I was maybe 15 years old, that first crush I had. Yeah.
You were probably like four.
Yeah.
All right. Right. So there are variables that are a misnomer with the product.
Okay. In terms of, I guess, I'm thinking your health, your heart, things that we very often will use inappropriately or incorrectly or the wrong products. Why would someone want to use more EVO?
Well, that is a great question, and this is a question I wish more people would ask me. The health benefits associated with extra virgin olive oil are just numerous.
The ones that immediately impact you.
Yep, the ones that immediately will impact you, it plays a vital role in fighting cancer, inflammation, coronary, artery disease, degenerative nerve disease, and diabetes.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. Man. It also reduces the risk of colon cancer, breast cancer, all sorts of those free radicals that are around in your body that we want to eliminate. It's a great source of inflammation. It acts kind of like an ibuprofen, like an NSAID would act.
So it's got a little bit of an anti-inflammatory.
It really does.
Unlike my remarks.
Right. So, Shasta, real quick, what does extra virgin mean?
Extra virgin means that it is the best press, it's the first press out of the olive oil or the olive itself. And there are parameters that it has to meet, that the olive oil itself has to meet in order to be considered extra virgin.
And so that's better than the just plain old virgin.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Virgin is an inferior product to extra virgin.
Okay. All right. Very good. And you mentioned something about them being picked off the ground or off the tree.
Yeah.
That seems interesting to me that you do follow.
Let's catch that in the next segment. Can you stick around?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a lot more about oil and vinegar and maybe even salmon burgers. Stick with us. We'll be back. Yeah.
Satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. We're still on this healthy kick. Bob will get over this by February, I guarantee it. But we're in the middle of January, so we're still doing it. And while kidding aside, this is important stuff. And a lot of us have resolutions to get a little better in shape and trim a little weight. And you know what? We're going to do our part to kick in and help you with that. But we still have Shasta from Old World Olive Company in the studio with us. And this is a big part of what we do. Is to stay healthy, is to eat better.
That's
and
right.
You do that with better ingredients, right,
That's
Bob?
Right. And I think since we've gotten to know Shasta and Corey from Old World Olive Company, I don't know that there's an ingredient that I include more recipes than their products at all.
Right.
Because, well, first of all, the garlic EVO that they make is – it's my go-to. I mean, I literally use it for scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use butter, but some people don't like butter. They like garlic, so I just freak them out with some garlic. But, I mean, I can use that or the Tuscan blend in any direction I'm going to take off. There's garlic in, like, every recipe you do anyway.
Well, everyone, you and I do.
So why wouldn't
right.
you?
Why wouldn't right? you? Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jop in the, later on is going to talk about his grilled romaine salad. And the first time he told me about this, I remember making faces. We were at the other station. And I remember making faces like, grilled romaine, it sounds so stupid. Well, I've since had some, and I really love them. But aside from just salad, let's talk about balsamics and combination with a good EVO.
Yeah, balsamics are another product that people forget have a lot of health benefits. They don't do exactly the same thing that an extra virgin olive oil does, but it's an appetite suppressant. It regulates your blood sugar. It reduces the need for insulin in diabetics.
Really?
There are just
Doesn't it have a sugar in it, though?
It does, but it's a naturally occurring sugar.
And does it not cut your cholesterol?
It can, in combination obviously with a healthy diet. So it does help to facilitate that.
I love your balsamics. I drink them.
You know what? it is good, but it is an uncommon ingredient. Shasta, could you explain to us maybe some more popular uses of the balsamics?
Ways
because
to use it.
Because I have in my pantry at home, I have 8 bottles of oil and I have 20 bottles of balsamic.
Sure.
Because I'd never really know where to, which one to grab and what to use. So maybe give us some tips on why I would use balsamic.
Sure. Well, first of all, you need to swing into the store and get some recipes, because that'll help you use those 20 bottles of balsamic that you have on your shelf.
Right.
But ways that you can use balsamic.
What is this recipe you're talking of?
This recipe? The recipes are for handouts.
And you do what they say?
Yeah, I know you don't cook that way. I've watched.
Foreign concept to Bob.
All right. Yeah. That's foreign. So you can use balsamic a lot of different ways. We have customers that come in and they use a balsamic vinegar inside of just a plain water. And they use that because it helps with, put a little splash of a mango balsamic in your drinking water. You could even splash it inside of a carbonated seltzer type water. And it gives you the benefits of balsamic vinegar suppressing your appetite, all those extra benefits in just a regular glass of water.
Wow, cool.
So that's one concept.
So then you have flavored balsamic,
yes,
right? And I don't need the list, but what are some of the more popular flavors?
I think they actually call them infused.
Them are infused balsamics, which is where the product is infused with the actual balsamic, the base of the balsamic. Probably our best-selling balsamic is just a traditional. It's the go-to when you go to an Italian restaurant and they bring out a balsamic vinaigrette. That's the type of balsamic that I'm talking about. However, most of the times in restaurants, they are using a balsamic that has a higher or a lower acidic level, rather.
Because it's not 18 years.
Correct.
And the balsamic process basically is storing vinegar in a wood barrel for a year, switching it to another barrel every year.
Wood species year after year.
So your 18 years have blown through 18.
Yes. Yes. And the majority of the bases of the infused balsamics, like a cranberry pear, a cinnamon pear, a pomegranate, all those base dark flavors typically are aged in that process.
So they throw them in the barrel?
They throw that base of balsamic comes out, and then the essence of the flavor is added with the base balsamic.
Okay.
So they're infused after.
Oh, after.
Correct.
So you mentioned cinnamon pear, you mentioned pomegranate. Those are some of the more popular flavors?
Yeah, pomegranate is a nice substitute if you don't want it quite as sweet. If you like that 18-year base, but you don't want it quite as sweet. Us Americans like sugar.
So riddle me this. Why is it your grapefruit balsamic is white?
It's not dark. Grapefruits are white if you squeeze out.
I understand that, but it seems like balsamic vinegar always ends up getting really dark, but the grapefruit...
It's a different grape. You've got your red grapes and you've got your white grapes. And so you're using an entirely different grape, but your process is the same.
But it all turns out to be a grapefruit.
All right.
I love
a grape addition.
I love the grapefruit balsamic.
It's one of my personal favorites.
It is.
So how do you guys use that? If it's your favorite, what do you use it on?
Oh, I put it in soup. It's fantastic in like a chicken and rice soup. You throw in, and I put a lot in.
It'll bring it up. Give it an up note.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot to actually affect a big pot of soup.
A big pot, yeah.
So, I'll dump like a cup in, and it just tastes better.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know.
Bet.
It makes my taste buds. My mouth's watering thinking about it.
That's because you're hungry.
So, are there citrus flavors?
Yes. So we have citrus flavors in both olive oils and balsamic vinegars.
So grapefruit the vinegars, what is citruses do you have?
We would have Sicilian lemon, which is delicious. It's one of my favorites,
right,
along with the grapefruit. We have a coconut. We have a pineapple.
This is crazy.
Orange, tangerine, which?
Tangerine, balsamic, a blood orange olive oil.
Okay, so speaking of that, that was my lead-in.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I've got this... romaine salad.
Yep.
That I make.
Yep.
Okay. Well, everybody knows what romaine is. It's the long cube piece of lettuce, right? They're long and skinny, and it's basically got four sides on it. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put blood orange olive oil on that, right? And get it just a dribble on either side.
Question before you do, are you cutting it down the middle in half or in quarters?
I'm going to do that when I serve it, not when I'm cooking it.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to brown the outside and not the place where I'm going to put the last ingredients, right?
Okay.
So I rub it with the olive oil, and I grill it 2 or 3 minutes on each side. And it's kind of like a cube. You roll it a quarter.
So you're going to roll it.
Right, yeah. And it'll get black on the outside. The outside leaf will get black. And then I'm going to pull it off the grill and cut it in half and lay it on the grilled side with the raw side up. And I'm going to put the tangerine balsamic on it and some blue cheese and some walnuts and shut the lid and let that blue cheese and the walnuts get kind of melded together on the top. And then when I take it off the grill and I put it on your plate, I'm going to drizzle it with a blue cheese dressing. So I've got both the orange flavors, the nutty, the salty of the blue cheese, and then a little bit of dressing just because you want something and a little dressing with every bite of salad.
That's delicious. It's
fabulous, man.
So hungry.
It's fabulous. Right. All right. Well, coming up next, we've got a guy named Scott Moody from PK Grills who's going to tell us a little bit about some cool stuff he's got coming out on the market. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back, Yarlis, the Grilling Guys. I was reminded during the break that I probably shouldn't have put that blue cheese dressing on that salad if I really wanted it to be healthy. You could hit it again with the citrus olive oil and a little bit of the balsamic to brighten it up, and it'd be just as good. So for those of you that are concentrating on your health, don't follow my path.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Jop, I've been watching this product pop up on my radar for maybe the last year or so, and it's called PK Grills, and there's a bunch of things I really like about it, but rather than tell you what I like, let's bring on the grilling line right now, Scott Moody, who's the Chief Marketing Officer for PK Grills. Thanks, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I just want to say for the record that I love blue cheese dressing.
Yeah, baby.
We all do.
There we go now. Right.
So, basically, I just want to open it up to you and let you tell our listeners about PK Grills.
Okay. I love to talk about PK Grills. We make a cast aluminum barbecue grill. It's a lot of people kind of refer to it as a retro grill. it does look like the kind of thing you might have seen on your old Uncle Dave's back porch or your grandparents' back porch. It's capsule shaped. It's definitely got a distinct 1950s kind of style to it. But all of that is kind of what makes the grill what it is, which is a product that lasts for generations. People pass them on to their kids. It's made out of thick cast aluminum. You probably know that aluminum is inherently rust proof. So unlike a lot of other grills made out of other materials, it ours tend to stick around a long time because they don't rust. Aluminum also is a super efficient conductor of heat. So it makes a great capsule, you know, to kind of cook foods in, because it tends to move the heat around really well. It's almost works like a convection oven. You don't get hot spots that might burn your food in some weird place and leave it raw somewhere else. It's got four vents, so you can control the heat really well. And it's just, you know, I'm biased, but I think it happens to be the very best charcoal barbecue grill that that nobody's ever heard of, except for competition cooks. Those guys, that community of people love our grill. Our grill is has been used by the world championship steak cook winner, whoever that winner was, for the last 5 years. Each time, the one common thing that they have in common is that they cook on a PK grill, because those guys that take cooking food outdoors seriously know about our product.
So you're in Arkansas and you're making it out of aluminum. How does that tie together?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that there is a tie to aluminum production in Arkansas. In fact, there's a city in Arkansas called Bauxite, which is you know, where aluminum comes from. But if you go all the way back to the origins of this grill, it was actually created in Tyler, Texas in 1952. So the grill was developed in 52 in Texas, and the company moved to Arkansas later in that decade. So closer to the 1960s is when PK landed in Arkansas, and has kind of a interesting history here. It's been in and out of business over the last 60 years, and my partners and I got involved about 5 years ago. So it hasn't been kind of continuously operating here, but it has been based here since, you know, for the last 60 years.
So Scott, I don't know if you mentioned it yet or not, but this is a charcoal grill, right? This is not a gas grill.
Charcoal grill.
And
in
looking at doing a little research on this, are you positioning this for a grill or a smoker or a little bit of both?
We position this as being really good at both, because it's got four vents and it's capsule shaped. You can do indirect cooking on this grill really effectively. You can put your fuel on one side of the capsule. And I'm saying capsule just so your listeners can kind of have a mental image of the thing. But if they want to look it up, you can see what they look like at pkgrills.com. But put your fuel on one side of this capsule, and you can put your meat on the other side of the capsule. It's got four vents, two on the top and two on the bottom, so you can direct your airflow to kind of, you know, come up, you know, from the bottom, hit that fuel, fire the fuel there, and then travel across the capsule and exhaust above your meat. You can smoke effectively like that for, you know, a long time. We do pork shoulders, ribs, briskets all the time on PK grills.
They're good. They're pretty good size too. I'm seeing that you did a reference there to other of the oval egg type smokers, and you've got quite a little bit more surface area.
We have our original PK's got about 300 square inches of cooking surface, and our PK 360's got 360. That's where the name comes from. But not only that, we built in that 360, we built in a lot of volume. So kind of top to bottoms. I smoked a 17-pound turkey in my PK 360 this past Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Well, this your more upscale unit. It's I just think of Gen X and millennials because it's the retro. I graduated in the 70s, so I'm a 50s baby, but the millennials like all that stuff. I mean, my kids listen to the music I listen to, and which is really funny. So a lot of that old stuff's coming back. There's hope for me. But, so I think you're hitting right on that. When I saw that, the one with the teak shelves, I thought of my two daughters instantly because they're constantly refurbing old appliances and stuff. They love that look.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's kind of on purpose and it's kind of not. If you squint your eye a little bit and look at the PK360, it starts to kind of look like an airplane. With this kind of capsule and these wings that come out to the sides.
Right.
And you know, that was some of the inspiration when we were trying to design this thing. But really, what we started with when we were designing that grill, which we designed from scratch, we just wanted to get the stand out of the way of the grill capsule. We wanted the grill capsule to kind of be this your central operating platform there, and we just wanted the stand out of the way, which is why we made the decision to go with a pedestal stand on that grill. And I think the pedestal stand is really kind of what you're reacting to whenever you say it looks like.
Yeah, the whole package. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I get a little George Jetson or something out of the thing.
For
but
sure. And that's it's, we, it's so you know, cool. We knew we were doing it. We're like, yeah, this thing kind of looks like an airplane. We've got those air intakes on the bottom, which are unique, which are patented. And, you know, those.
And look, you're not like that far from Area 51, so now I'm a little suspicious. So we know we can go online. We can go to pkgrills.com, and there's retailers you're putting out there. I would just say this one thing, and we're about out of time. Check this grill out, because unlike any kind of Kamado, this is made out of aluminum, and it's not going to crack very easily. So another great reason, great properties. Scott Moody, PK Grills, thanks so much for taking a little time out. We hope to have you back again someday.
Yeah, thank you. You guys are the coolest for having us on. Thank you very much. All
right, you're welcome.
Coming up next, we're going to continue down this healthy road. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Job from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
We're back with some Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Barbecue Bob and I are just having a good time kicking off 2019. Bob's on a health kick if you're just tuning in for the first time, and this is... I guess it's working for
you. Are you like my press agent or something?
Well, I'm just saying, man. It seems to be dictating show content pretty heavily. So here we go again.
Hey. You're more than welcome to write next week's show.
All right, man.
It's all about fat and the bone.
Watch out, ribeye. Here we come.
Yeah, well, you know what? I understand, and I don't mean to overwork healthy living or anything like that. I'm not typically a health freak.
I agree.
I think it's
so un-Bob is why I've got to bring it up.
Well,
right?
You know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the Snap Fitness thing. It goes hand in hand with not wanting to have to look in the mirror and say, gosh, it's not what I want to be.
Yeah, right. I'm doing some Standard Lumber, Standard Kitchens is an exhibitor down at the New Home and Remodeling Show, which is in West Michigan this weekend. And I'm doing some TV down there as well, promoting our company and stuff. And the first one that we did was earlier in the week, and I got the copy of it, and I sent it off to a few people. And I just put the comment on there, who's that fat ass on the couch? And I just sent it to everybody. And it was like, you're right. I'd like to say the camera adds the 10 pounds, but I think it's the microbrewed beer. I really do.
Well, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about a smoked venison roast.
All right.
And that's another lean, good, healthy meat that you can agree with me on.
I can.
There's lots of reasons to love on that thing.
Well, you're gonna want to listen to this because this is not as easy as it sounds.
But we're gonna try and make it easy.
Right, exactly because it is so lean.
It'd be easier if I had shot a deer this year.
Right,
I didn't do it. So I'm using a faux roast.
Grab a venison roast from your buddy's freezer.
From your neighbor.
Number one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and our deer population in Michigan, at least, is not quite what it should be, but. There's a cool method I saw, if you ever watch, I don't know, YouTube videos, different guys out there, but one of the techniques that they espouse is, you might not believe this, but they use bacon. And
wow, this swing right back over to job side, maybe not so healthy. I'm liking this already.
So you take a big, long butcher knife and you boneless roast. You take that knife and you take a slice right down the middle of it and kind of burrow a tunnel through it.
Okay.
And then you get something that looks like a paint stirring stick, which would work fine.
Yep.
And you put a thick slice of bacon wrapped over the end of that.
Oh, it's a plunger
and you
now.
Use that. That's right. Yeah. You use that as a push stick and you stuff that big piece of bacon right down the middle of that. And believe it or not,
one
big thick piece of bacon does wonders for the center of a
but
roast.
But three would be wonderful.
Yeah, Jop's shooting for more.
A healthy and happy 2019.
I wonder why
can
you
be,
only use one. I would be wonderful if you use three.
You'd want to prioritize your healthy or happy. So then put your favorite rub on it. And there's so many good rubs. You can make your own salt and pepper. Or you can do whatever you want. You might make a little bit of a marinade with some Old World Olive oils and a little balsamic in there if you want to maybe make a mop with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Shasta could come up with something for you. But then put that in your smoker at about 275. And I'm going to say the typical venison roast is 2 or 3 pounds. They're not big.
Right.
For a whitetail. Anyway.
Rump roast. Right.
For a whitetail.
Yep.
And smoke it. To get it to, internal temperature, I guess that's personal preference. I'm going to say it should be around 160 to 170. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to bring it to 200 like a brisket. But
because you're not breaking down the connective tissue, because there really isn't.
There isn't
any.
It's muscle. Yeah. There's not enough fat in it. And so you pull it out when you get maybe the internal temperature to about 150, and you put it into a saucepan or a roasting pan.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in some beef broth and whatever you want to make, some Worcestershire, anything that's going to make a bit of an au jus flavor for you. And Worcestershire is always good for that. And then throw it back in the smoker or your oven.
Covered or not?
Nope, open.
Okay.
And then just keep basting it every 15 or 20 minutes. And throw in, when you do put that back in there, throw in some onions and some celery and some potatoes, maybe a little carrot with that, and bring all that up for about another hour. So you're going to have 2 hours of smoke, 1 hour of just heat. And by the time you pull that out, that internal should be... Honestly, I can't tell you where your internal will be. It'd be impossible. But if you start slicing into it, you're going to notice it's fully cooked. It's not medium rare or anything inside because it's a roast.
Well, you could use a digital thermometer with a remote on it if you wanted to throw it at that.
Could.
Then you'd know, because some people are nervous about going by the look or the feel, where you and I have got experience with that. They got to know. And that'd be a digital thermometer with a probe into the deepest part of the meat. And you set it wherever you need it. If you want it at 160, the alarm goes off, you know it's time to pull it.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm not recommending a temperature to the inside, because I can't remember, you know, the last one, what temperature I brought it
you
to.
You can't remember the last deer you got, and you can't remember the last roast you cooked, so you don't remember the last temperature you cooked it to.
Right. Yeah, okay. So anyway, you pull that thing off, and you rest it for about a half hour, 20 minutes. And then you put it on a cutting board and start slicing it up. And you slice it up, and then you throw it in that broth. And it is fantastic.
So you're serving it. It might be a little dripping a little bit because it took a bath in that broth before it hit your plate.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
So you're going to want to slice it real thin against the grain, and because it's going to be kind of lean. It'll be a little on the tough side.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a real man, you can handle it.
It's time for a little man law.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Yes, and today's Man Law brought to you by Old World Olive Company. If a man ever does something wrong, a simple oops, my bad, or any variations of cuss words to get that point across will suffice. No need to say, I'm sorry. We don't say, I'm sorry.
You're right. Why would you? Move on.
Man law.
Right. Move on. So, Shasta, a lot of our listeners are hunters, and they bag a variety of animals, whether it be venison or birds or fish. Do you have any go-tos for the salmon fishermen that's out there, what you would recommend?
Yeah, for salmon, we go back to any one of those citrus flavors. A citrus on any sort of fish is always good.
The oil or the balsamic?
I would do an oil first, because the oil helps to kind of put a protective coating on the meat to hold the moisture in. And then I would do that balsamic at the end, do a nice drizzle. If you chose to do it differently, you could do a nice marinade where you keep it in a baggie in a container for a couple minutes. The balsamic will make a nice caramelization because of the naturally occurring sugar, so you'll get a nice sear on that if you were going to sear a fish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So then is the balsamic and the oil enough seasoning, or do I need a dry seasoning?
Well,
would you recommend?
I look at it as kind of like the foundation of a house. Your food's only as good as what your base is.
Yep.
Some of the flavors are going to have a lot more of a presence once you're done cooking. But I would say if you want to layer it, if you want a lot more flavor, if you want something that's a real intense or robust, I'd go ahead and throw a few more things on it. If you prefer something a little bit more delicate and you like the taste of the natural fish itself, then leave it as is.
So for the guy out there that is using typically just a regular cheap vegetable oil, mm-hmm. why would he make the switch to EVO?
Well, again, we're going back to the health benefits. If you're interested,
what if he doesn't care about the health benefits,
well, if like he's like John and he doesn't care, then
flavor. I'll
it's
tell
the
you,
flavor.
I can answer that. That's flavor, right?
It's just the flavor,
and especially the infused oils,
right?
I think are even. I think once you start cooking with it, you'll never go back to
you won't.
Basic vegetable
it becomes
oil.
Almost an obsession.
Yeah, because you taste basic vegetable oil, then it starts tasting weird.
It's just not the same. Yep.
But the difference between your high-quality EVOs and the stuff you find in the big box stores in a giant jug for $9.99 mm-hmm. are vastly different. And I'm going to say that one of the reasons a lot of people don't like EVO is because they bought that.
Well, correct.
And it has this flavor to it that's like, wow, why would I use that on anything?
If right. you open terrible. Up a container of olive oil, whether it's in a bottle, it's in a jug, it's in a tin can, and it tastes like crayons or it just smells stale, it's because it is. It's a bad rancid oil. And the benefit that you have by buying from a purveyor like us is that you get the crush date, you get the farm that it came from, and you get a
horse you rode in on
chemical panel. Right. So you know where it's from.
So Shasta, I was thinking it's just not oil and vinegars that you have at the store. Stick around for the last segment because sure. I want to talk about some of the other things that might go well on the dishes that are wild game. So if you listen to Grilling Guys, stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Easy for me to slur. We haven't even had a craft beer during this show either, man. I don't know what's going on there. But
it's too early in the morning.
Yeah, I think my mouth is watering because during the break we were talking about some of the other things that Old World Olive Company has to offer. And we want to touch a little bit on tapenades. I think it's a category that very few people really understand. Maybe you could break that down for us a little bit, Shasta.
Yeah, so a tapenade, you can look at it as an addition to like your venison roast we just talked about. You could use a tapenade over top or some sort of spread. Another way that you can use them is over a wheel of brie. You can use some of the sweeter variations or a savory one. But it's a product that sometimes people pick it up and look at the jar, and the jar looks cute, but what do I do with it? So that's where the knowledge of our staff comes in for you just to be able to say.
So I have pork chops.
You got pork chops. I would put it.
I usually make a chutney.
Apple horseradish spread over top of that. Just dump a little bit on top. Use it. The flavor is so imparted into those little jars that you just need a little bit. But I would definitely, an apple horseradish would be delicious.
So what would I do? I grill my pork chops,
yep.
And then the last couple minutes, just put a little dollop on top.
Put a little dollop on top, yep.
And it doesn't take much.
Does not take much.
Now, you have one that's like a cheese olive.
Blue cheese stuffed olive is delicious.
What would you do with that? Put it on a steak?
That you could.
Swinging back towards the job side of the show
swinging
again.
The other side again, yeah. You could put a little bit on steak. It's excellent on pork or chicken. And when some people think blue cheese, not everybody in the world loves blue cheese, Chop. I mean, not everyone does.
Just the ones that listen to my half of the show, that's right.
Yeah, I happen to love it. But when I first tried that product, I thought it was going to be a really intense, overpowering blue cheese flavor, and it's just not.
And don't you remember, like, when you were a kid and your dad would eat blue cheese? You'd look at him like, Why do you
smells like stinky feet?
You're eating mold.
And he would drink. My dad would actually drink buttermilk.
Oh yeah.
So that was the thing. Yeah. So Shasta Old World Olive Company, thanks so much for joining us. And
you bet.
Tell Corey we appreciate him sharing you for a little bit of time. The PK Grills job, I want you to check that out. Their website is pkgrills.com. And then, of course, we're at thegrillinguys.com. You can check us out on Facebook / thegrillinguys and send us a link. If you look at our site alone, you'll see that up on the top right side, there's a search bar. You can go up there and put in Shasta or Old World Olive or just put in Olive, and it'll pull up hundreds and hundreds of posts about Olive because your product is in almost every recipe we've ever done.
Right.
Well, we appreciate that.
So, Shasta, if people want to find one of your stores, where are they at?
Yep. We have a couple locations here on the west side of the state, one in downtown Rockford, one on the corner of Monroe Center in Ottawa, and then one in the downtown market. And then we have a store in Plymouth and then some locations in the Birmingham.
You know,
area.
And I've even seen your displays in some of the larger grocery stores, right?
Yeah, we've recently branched out and to doing smaller tasting bars into some locations, and we do have one on the Knapp's Corner Mire as well.
Yeah, pretty cool. I was impressed when I walked in there to do my regular grocery shopping. I'm like, wow, check that out.
Corey's there stocking the shelves as we speak.
Yeah, got to keep him busy
somehow, right?
Yeah, well, hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to The Grilling Guys. Get out and fire up a grill. Bob's got one more thing. What you got, brother?
Go out and buy a bag of Better Made chips.
There we go. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you next week.